All right, hey, listen, we're going to switch gears now. Let me go to a new topic. I've been teasing this the entire show, and this there's so much content we haven't gotten to it yet, but we're getting to it now. So, Good Samaritans on Trial. That's the name of this dipper. Good Samaritans on Trial. First of all, what does that even mean? Can somebody be legally known as a Good Samaritan? Yeah, it's not just a phrase from the Bible. It's not just a colloquialism. There are known Good Samaritan laws. Alabama has one. Like, for instance, Alabama has a Good Samaritan law that is literally related to trained professionals who are doing things in their off time. Like, for instance, if a doctor is on the bus and he sees someone having a heart attack, he can jump in and help. Now, people say, well, he has a Hippocratic oath. Well, he's also protected. If, let's say, the guy dies, even though he performs every bit of life-saving treatment he can, under code 6-5-332, doctors, dentists, nurses, rescue squad members, firefighters, even volunteer firefighters, law enforcement, if they see and intervene in an emergency situation in their off time when they're not in official capacity, they can be protected by what's known as the Good Samaritan law, meaning that they can be given basically a pass. They can be free from immunity. And that's a huge deal. Because what you don't want is a society that sits idly by and lets people suffer. You don't want to be a society where everyone is about getting the camera out and just filming and doing nothing about something that is egregious or is life-threatening happening. If it's life, limb, or property, I would love to believe people are going to intervene. And yet in today's litigious society, and in light of the amazing amount of liberal DAs that are out there who want just to put trophies on the wall, Good Samaritans have been under threat. So Alabama does have a Good Samaritan law. We do. Like I said, doctors, dentists, nurses, rescue squad members, firefighters, volunteer firefighters, law enforcement, all of them, even some public education employees. And there's other states that have Good Samaritan laws. And some are broader than others, so every state's going to have their own version. Because criminal law, there is federal criminal law, but much of the criminal law world deals with state law matters. And so unless it's a crime against the federal government or a federal provision, then it's going to wind up being state law governed. Now, what about, like, can I defend myself? I mean, what happens if, like, Daniel Penny, I mean, this guy in New York, he's on trial because he's sitting in the subway and a guy who is a known, has a known criminal history, who's schizophrenic, who was freaking out and his system was filled with synthetic drugs. He gets on and he starts screaming about how he's going to start killing people. Daniel Penny, the former Marine, who looks like he's a pretty stout guy too, by the way, he intervened. He got the guy in a headlock and took him down to the ground and held him as the guy struggled, wanting to break free to do God knows what to people that were innocent bystanders sitting on this train, the subway. Oh, by the way, the thing that gets lost in all this is he was assisted by other bystanders. And I don't know where they are in the mix, but Daniel Penny was the one who had the primary, you know, role in this. He's the one who first grabbed him in the headlock, took him down on the ground, and held him until police got there. When police got there, oh, by the way, he was still alive. He died soon thereafter. So can you stand your ground? I mean, if you're being threatened, if someone's menacing you, do you have to run away? You know what's crazy is it depends on your state. Alabama's code 13A-3-23 actually provides a measure of protection for people that are just standing their ground. Like, I don't have to run away. The law provides, here's a direct quote, the law provides that a person who is justified under the statute in using physical force, including deadly physical force, and who is not engaged in unlawful activity, is in any place where they have a right to be, has no duty to retreat, has a right to stand their ground. Now, the question is, has the right to be and not participating in otherwise illegal activity? In other words, if you're robbing a store and someone tries to stop you and you turn around and shoot them, you're the one committing the crime. You can't be there. You can't do that. You're not going to get stand your ground law on that. But if you're the one who owns the store and someone comes in and they say, give me all your money and point a gun at you and you shoot them, you have what is known as the stand your ground law. You also have Alabama's castle doctrine, which says that a person's home is their castle, and that castle is extended to be your home, your place of business, and your vehicle. So yes, you are allowed to stand your ground. There are circumstances where you're not, and oh, by the way, it's also different for every state. I've got one in here somewhere in my stack. Hang on a second, I got to find it. But the different states have different versions of stand your ground. And like, for instance, I think it's in New York, you're actually required to retreat. That which is it New York? Maybe New Jersey. You're required to retreat. That's not stand your ground. Basically, if you can no longer retreat, then you're covered. Okay, run away, run away, run away. And I get it. Sometimes the better part of valor is not to just have the fight. But the truth be told, you shouldn't be compelled by law to run away, especially if you're protecting somebody or someone or something. Let's take a look at a few famous cases when we get back from this break. Like, we've got the Kyle Rittenhouse. Remember Kyle Rittenhouse? We've got the Kyle Rittenhouse case. We've got the Daniel Perry case. Not Penny, but Perry case out in Texas. And now, of course, we got breaking news just today. As I prepared this segment, boom, breaking news happened today on the Daniel Penny case up in New York. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what it means. Good Samaritans on trial. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower in here. We're on this topic of Good Samaritans on trial. Good Samaritans on trial. Does Alabama have a Good Samaritan law? Yeah, there are certain people under the law who, because of their expertise, if they see, we want them to intervene. If you're on a bus and somebody has a heart attack, you want the doctor who's sitting in the front seat up there to get up from his seat and come help and not be fearful of being sued. You want the volunteer firefighter who knows how to intervene in an emergency situation with an auto accident to intervene and help. You don't want to be the society that just constantly berates people who try to do the right thing. And for that matter, not only berates them, but sometimes puts them on trial, like a la Daniel Penny up in New York. I'll get to him more in a minute. But do you remember Kyle Rittenhouse? So Kyle Rittenhouse, the classic example of you should not be sued for lack of wisdom or tried for lack of wisdom. Should he have been downtown in the middle of a riot with an AR-15? Probably not. Did he go there to shoot people? No. His life was threatened. He got down there, and his defense was that he got down there and he was armed and he was with other people with the intent to stop property from being destroyed and to be there as a medic, because he had some form of training in, you know, first aid or like maybe as a, I forgot what it was, a scout or something. But anyway, he was down there ostensibly to do no harm, but also to prevent harm. And the whole night got bad. I mean, the whole night got bad. Like, what was he doing down there? I mean, kid, you're 17 years old and you got an AR-15. You went down to a riot. No wisdom there. So, but He had people that began to pursue him, people that began, like one guy hit him in the head with a skateboard. Another guy chased him and said, if I catch you, I'm going to kill you. And tried to grab his gun. Another guy pointed his pistol at his face, and Kyle Rittenhouse did not hesitate. He shot him. Rittenhouse had every right. He was trying to retreat, by the way. If you watch the videos, he was running away from the bad guys and got knocked to the ground. And when the guy pulled his pistol and pointed it at him, he shot the guy from the ground. So even if they had a stand your ground, but you have to retreat law, he met all of the criteria. The jurors, it was a 2-week long trial. Jurors deliberated for 27 hours over 4 days, pronounced him not guilty on all 5 counts. You had a Good Samaritan on trial. Now, then there's, take a look at Texas. So for those of y'all that need a frame of reference, you think Texas, it's like, it's a red state, right? Well, Alabama's a red state, but we still got Jefferson County. We still got Birmingham, right? We still got our blue chunk. So Texas has got a blue chunk. It's called Austin. So around the same time as Kyle Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse's situation happened in August of 2020 during the summer of love, right? All the rioting everywhere around the nation. That was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I believe. Then you have in Austin, Texas, the sympathy riots. The we weren't there and we're not having anything to do with it, but we're going to riot down here anyway riots. So a group of protesters were marching through downtown Austin, Texas, and a guy named Daniel Perry, who's an off-duty military guy from Fort Hood, he was trying to make money as an Uber driver on the weekends, and he turned right into a crowd of protesters. A guy with an AK-47. Now, let's picture this. You're a protester, and you're marching through the streets with a loaded AK-47. There's a problem. Just saying, something's up. You're a protester, not a defender, but a protester with a loaded AK-47. They surrounded Daniel Perry's car, and the guy with the AK points it in his driver's window, at which point Perry, who kept a pistol in his vehicle, pulled his pistol and shot the guy, believing that he was about to be killed. He was in his vehicle. Castle Doctrine would say that you are in your vehicle in a place where you are allowed to be. You are allowed to stand your ground. You are allowed the benefit of knowing that your castle protects you, your car in that case. And he shot the guy. Guess who got put on trial? And oh, by the way, even convicted? Daniel Perry. It took the intervention of Governor Greg Abbott to pardon him. Story that came out just a few months ago. The liberal DA of Travis County, Texas, is now seeking to have that pardon overturned by the appellate courts in Texas. Because, you know, can't have that. Well, Good Samaritan on trial, stand your ground law on trial. And now we got Daniel Penny. When I get back, I'm going to give you the lowdown on what has happened just today and where does it go from here. What are we going to see on Monday? Because the case against Daniel Penny just took a major, major turn this afternoon while I was on the air. So we're going to give you the latest, and I'll try to give you a little bit of Lawyer Williams speaking to the situation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about Alabama, y'all. It's where I'm sitting right now, Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to make an announcement. I forgot to say this earlier in the show. If I don't say it now, JP's going to be mad. But no, man, I'm pretty stoked about this. So y'all may recall that the Right Side Radio is just one part of the overall company, Right Side Media. It's just one of our things. So Right Side Radio, of course, the hub of what we do. It's how we got started. But we have now got the written word, which gets published. You know, our op-ed goes out every week and gets published all over the state. And, oh, by the way, we now have brand new podcasts for you. So we've had Right Philosophy and Right Click that have been ongoing now. Video podcasts have been ongoing now for quite a while. We just added this week the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson, which is great. It's up right now. It's been posted since yesterday. You can find it on our YouTube or at rightsidemedia.org. But our fourth podcast contributor starts Sunday. So Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. We're dropping in two episodes, right? Two? We're dropping in two episodes of the brand new Controversial Mom podcast. So Emily Jones, who started Moms for Liberty in Alabama, she's doing one with us called The Controversial Mom. I love the title, first of all. And she is, which is crazy because what she's doing is nothing controversial unless you're woke. But they think she's controversial, so we're going to go with it. So right now, The Controversial Mom kicks off with Emily Jones on Sunday at 5. And you can always find all the episodes on our website, rightsidemedia.org, or on our YouTube channel, Right Side Media. Just go check it out. Good stuff, man. I'm pretty stoked. That's right now we have four video podcast lines. We have the audio podcast of the show. We have the radio show and the written word. Whoop, whoop. We're getting some stuff going on.
And streaming.
Oh, thank you. Which has been really up today.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody tuning in, and if anybody's watching and has not followed or subscribed to us on our platforms, please go ahead and do so. We'd appreciate that a lot.
It actually lets our business grow because the platforms all have markers you have to hit. So we're going to hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube very soon, and we'd love for y'all to be there. I would love to know who's the number 1,000. That would be cool. We may have to have a T-shirt or something for number 1,000.
We have to do that. It's a good idea.
Mm. but you're not allowed to unsubscribe and then jump back in to be 1,000. You can't do that. All right, let's go back to the Good Samaritan on trial. So Daniel Penny, what happened? Well, we got word, I think it was yesterday or this morning, perhaps. I've got a piece here I pulled from Fox. Yeah, it was yesterday. Dateline yesterday. That the Daniel Penny trial, which had gone to the jury this week, I think they finished closing arguments on Monday, went to the jury. The jury asked to review three pieces of evidence. That's not unheard of. It was what they were calling to review, though, that was interesting. They wanted to see the exhibit. It was People's Exhibit 36A, which was an interview that Daniel Penny, after you know, intervening on the train where the schizophrenic drug-addled guy was screaming that he was going to kill people, and he intervenes and holds a guy in a headlock. The guy later died. Not then in the scene, but he later died. During his trial, you had competing expert testimony, which is not uncommon to have the battle of the experts. But the competing expert testimony was, number one, on the prosecution side, they said that the chokehold was the reason for the death. Whereas the defense side had a separate medical expert who said, absolutely not. The fact that he was still alive when the police got there is a clear indication the chokehold was not the cause of death. It was all the drugs in his system and perhaps the stress of the moment. He basically flaked out and his heart gave out. Okay, yay, nay. People's Exhibit 30A, 36A, the jury wanted to see the interview that the police did with Daniel Penny. Well, he came in as an interview thinking he was just a witness. And he was. And he waived his Miranda rights. And he sat down with the NYPD and they had a very friendly conversation. They were even joking. One of the guys was even a former Marine, like he's a Marine. And they kind of did the Semper Fi thing. And they didn't inform him at the time that Neely had died. He had no idea. He just went on to tell him. He was talking gibberish on the train. These guys are pushing people in front of trains and stuff. And, you know, got all these deaths in the subways. And I just thought, you know what? I can't let this happen. He's like, I'm going to kill somebody. He said, I'm going to go to prison forever. I don't care. This was what the guy said that died. He said, so I just like grabbed him from behind. And the detectives were like, huh, really? Oh, wow. Well, the jury wanted to see that again. Because you look for what's known as the then present sense impression of the witness. What's that mean? The then present sense impression. That was what was his mental state at the time? What were his impressions of the moment? And so I'm sure they were looking at that again. People's Exhibit 12, they wanted to see that. That was the video that some bystander took of what was happening, which clearly showed that there was an out-of-control situation, that Penny intervened, and that other bystanders helped. And then they wanted to see People's Exhibit 34, which was where it showed the points of view from the various officers' police cams or body cams, and just, you know, what was happening, and officers who were trying to resuscitate Neely, saying he's got a pulse but he's not breathing. Different things were happening. The jury wanted to see it all. Today, the jury came back right as I went on the show. The jury came back and said they were deadlocked. Deadlocked. They could not come to a unanimous decision as to the primary charge of manslaughter. So we have a primary charge of manslaughter, and the jury is unable to reach a unanimous verdict. Now, it's not uncommon for that to happen, and the judge will give them what's known as an Allen charge and send them back again to review and to try again. But in this case, apparently, the prosecution saw the handwriting on the wall, and the prosecution went ahead and moved the court to drop the manslaughter charge. They knew they weren't going to get there. And the judge dismissed, while I'm on the air today, the judge dismissed the manslaughter charge against Daniel Penny. What remains that I know of is one charge of criminally negligent homicide. What is that? Criminally negligent homicide. Well, first of all, being negligent removes an intent piece. It's a lesser crime, but it still involves manslaughter or homicide. And so where we are right now is the jury has been dismissed for the weekend, told to come back on Monday. And the Good Samaritan, Daniel Penny, is going to be sitting there waiting to find out whether they're going to determine that Daniel Penny's actions were more than just a bad mistake, that they were a complete disregard for someone else's security and well-being, and that he had a complete failure to consider the ramifications of his actions. Now, every state has their own version, all right? Every state does. An example of this would be like, you're out there celebrating, you know, at 4th of July in an area where there's high-rise apartments and you're shooting your weapon in the air to celebrate and someone dies on a balcony. That's criminally negligent. You shouldn't have done it. You're driving really fast through a parade or something like that and you run somebody over, potentially criminally negligent. You leave a child in an unattended car in a hot weather and they die of asphyxiation or heat stroke in the car, criminally negligent. So did you have a reckless disregard for others? Did you in some way violate the what would be known as the reasonable man standard? A reasonable man in a similar situation would not have done that thing you did. We'll find out. That's going to be on Monday. Now, we do have one other piece of this because the plot has thickened. Yeah, there's a Castle Doctrine defense. Not Castle Doctrine, but yeah, there's a stand your ground defense potentially. Yeah, there's a Good Samaritan. And there are Good Samaritan laws, which he may or may not have qualified for under New York law. But now what we also have is not only the criminal trial, but we just found out that the father of the deceased has now filed civil suit against Daniel Penny. That just happened. Yesterday afternoon, the father of the victim at the center of the fatal New York City subway, according to the AP, has sued the defendant Daniel Penny as the jury still deliberates his case. Jordan Neely's father, Andre Zachary, filed the suit Wednesday against Marine veteran Daniel Penny. He accuses him of negligence, assault, and battery, which led to the death of his unarmed 30-year-old son. How about this? His unarmed 30-year-old son, Daniel Penny, was also unarmed. His unarmed 30-year-old son was out on bail, and he shouldn't have been after... He walked up and punched an elderly woman in the face? So he's a violent individual who jumps on a train, completely addled by drugs. He's schizophrenic. Where were you, Dad? Where were you? Where were you when your son was roaming the streets out of his mind, needing assistance, but now you want money? That's what's happening there. Shame on the lawyer who filed that suit. But right now, I don't give that civil suit a whole lot of credence, except that it's in New York. So there's that. I think that if it were here, he'd have an uphill climb. He may still have an uphill climb in New York, too, I suspect. But nonetheless, Daniel Penny, his days in court are not quite done.
Yeah, and can I just add, too, I know you talked about this earlier of the defense talking about how it was not likely the death was caused by the chokehold. I've talked about this before. I've done MMA fights and did jiu-jitsu for quite a while. I've been in many chokeholds, done many chokeholds. I find it very unlikely that, or let me just put it this way. Anybody who thinks that somebody can die from a chokehold, it's really unlikely for that to happen. I mean, the main point is to just cut off consciousness from the artery that goes through your neck to your brain, cut off blood circulation. It's the only way they can really die from that is you break his neck. And that's, if he was alive when the police got there, then yeah, Obviously that didn't happen. I think the better likelihood is, like you said, he was on drugs, probably the adrenaline, whatever. It was not the chokehold. I mean, anybody who has any sort of idea about chokeholds or whatever knows, like, it's very unlikely for somebody to die from a chokehold, let's put it that way, especially if he was alive. If he's going to die from a chokehold, he's not going to be alive when the police get there. So it's just crazy to me that people put that as, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. I'll say it that way.
And here's the other part, but great input. And here's the other part of the story. What should he have done? Just sat there and let somebody get punched in the face? Just sat there and let the ladies and the kids that were on the train with him, be at risk of who knows what, maybe even death? I mean, should he have just sat there? And oh, by the way, don't you want to live in a society where the strong guy will intervene when the bully tries to take, you know, innocent lives or innocent, you know, create harm? I mean, don't we want to live? And I'm not talking about vigilantism, and I'm not talking about, you know, the streets of Tombstone back in the 1800s. I'm not talking about that. But even in the streets of Tombstone back in the 1800s, they cared. And if we want to be a society where the Good Samaritan goes on trial all the time for daring to intervene when innocent people are at risk, well, then what kind of society are we? That's where we are right now. Good Samaritan on trial. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a phone call coming, I suspect, and I got some text messages to catch up on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.